So now I have the honor of introducing a local Wisconsin person to welcome us, and that is Brian Kennedy. He is the president of the American Federation of Teachers from Wisconsin, the whole state, as well as the local 3535, which is the Association of University of Wisconsin Professionals. I just want to add one thing, which is I came on U.S. Airways yesterday, and as we were boarding on U.S. Airways, they said, "Is there anybody here from the military? Come forward and let's clap for those people." And I stood up right afterwards and said, "And are there any teachers here that are in this room, and can you stand up so we can clap for you?" Because among those people that our society should put way at the top in terms of honoring are our teachers. And Brian is representing teachers throughout this state. He also has a PhD in Latin American studies. He was a professor at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, and he specialized in a really fun specialty, which is Brazilian culture, history, and literature. And in 2006, he was a Democratic nominee for Congress in Wisconsin's 5th Congressional District. So let's give a big thanks for this teacher.
How many folks do we have from Wisconsin? Show of hands. All right, for those of you who are from Wisconsin, you're going to get your fourth grade social studies all over again. For the rest of you, welcome to Wisconsin. Whereas Medea said, talking about Washington, a dysfunctional city, a dysfunctional capital, and a dysfunctional country, I'm pleased to welcome you to a dysfunctional state government in a dysfunctional state right now, where our politics are incredibly bipolar. In 2008, all but 7 of our counties voted for Barack Obama to be president. 2 years later, we elected a whole bunch of grumpy white men to run the state. And then 2 years after that, we re-elected Barack Obama, and we sent the United States Senate its first openly gay U.S. Senator in Tammy Baldwin. This is the state where progressivism was founded. Our state motto is forward. And for most of the last 100 years, that's what we've been trying to do. We have led the way in workers' rights, in public services, and thanks to a former governor and former U.S. Senator, Wisconsin has given this country and this world Earth Day. In the first quarter of the 20th century, Wisconsin leaders began to seek new answers to problems caused by an increasingly industrial and technological society that was more and more controlled by a few very wealthy individuals. For a people who were born and raised mostly on farms, the explosive growth of our cities, the rising importance of large-scale industries, transformation of our workforce by an influx of new immigrants, and rigid class stratification that began to divide the rich from the poor, and just the overall speed of daily life accelerating, brought a lot of uncertainty and a lot of confusion to Wisconsinites. In Wisconsin, attempts to counter corporate power and oligarchic control of government began when progressives gained control of the Republican Party. And yes, that's right, I did say the Republican Party. The Republicans, the party of Lincoln, in the Union Army, in the decades following the Civil War, held a virtual monopoly on state government here in Wisconsin. And they did so by organizing and satisfying the needs of Civil War veterans. Until the 1890s, a few party leaders tightly controlled Wisconsin's legislative agenda. And at the same time, the rise of big business after the Civil War had concentrated economic power in the hands of a few privileged individuals. So these two groups, party leaders and business leaders, often overlapped personally and pragmatically as the interests and actions of government and business converged here in our state. But progressive Republicans believed that the business of government was to serve the people. They sought to restrict the power of corporations when it interfered with the needs of individual citizens. The progressive movement appealed to citizens who wanted honest government and moderate economic reforms that would expand democracy and improve public morality. In their crusade for reform on a state and national level, progressive Republicans were led by Fighting Bob La Follette, Wisconsin's governor and then U.S. senator. Here in Wisconsin, La Follette developed the techniques and ideas that made him a nationwide symbol of progressive reform and made our state an emblem of progressive experimentation. The Wisconsin idea, as it came to be called, was that efficient government required control of institution by the voters rather than by special interests, the wealthy, and corporations. And that the involvement of specialists in law, economics, and social and natural sciences would produce the most effective government. While early 20th century Wisconsin politics were largely associated with the Progressive Party in our state, it was also the era of socialism in Milwaukee, often referred to as sewer socialism. For their back-to-basic strategy, Milwaukee socialists sought to reform the legacy of the Industrial Revolution on the local level by cleaning up neighborhoods and factories with new sanitation systems, municipally owned water and power systems, community parks, public transportation, and improved education. Progressivism and socialism had different leaders, but they were in many ways remarkably similar in practice. The socialists rejected the progressive idea of government regulation of industry. Instead, they sought to replace the capitalist system with a planned economy of state-owned industries that would protect workers from business and monopolies. The socialists believed that this change would be inevitable as the working class became increasingly oppressed by powerful businesses. Although they believed in a type of class warfare, the Milwaukee socialists never advocated a violent revolution. They knew that they could win at the ballot box by organizing around local issues. Wisconsin's reputation for good government and honest politicians extended to Senator Bill Proxmire, who refused to take campaign contributions. In his last election in 1982, Proxmire returned to the U.S. Senate having spent less than $200 to win a U.S. Senate seat. And most of that money was on postage to return contributions that he had not solicited. We are also the state that gave you Russ Feingold, the only U.S. senator with a backbone to defend civil liberties and cast the only vote in the U.S. Senate against the Patriot Act. Now, lest you think that everything in Wisconsin prior to the election of Scott Walker was always a workers' paradise and a progressive utopia, Wisconsin has also been the birthplace of many conservative ideas, conservative programs, and conservative politicians. How many of you have heard the expression or the question, are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party of the United States? Yes, Wisconsin Senator Joseph McCarthy, the man largely responsible for the Red Scare, was from Wisconsin. Governor Tommy Thompson started the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program, a voucher gimmick that over the last 20 years has siphoned hundreds of millions of dollars of public education money from our public schools and sent them to private and parochial schools. This voucher experiment in Wisconsin was the first in the nation, has now been replicated in a majority of states, and Governor Walker just recently signed legislation that extends the voucher program from Milwaukee statewide. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker led the ALEC-inspired attack against public sector workers in 2011. His abolition of public sector bargaining rights was a blow to human rights and the dignity of public servants in our state. Wisconsin has regrettably given the country Paul Ryan, the House Budget Committee chair and former Republican vice presidential nominee, who makes his staff read the writings of Ayn Rand. He has said that it is both moral and Christian to scale back assistance to those who need it the most. Seriously? The poor, the elderly, children, they really can take care of themselves? The Republican National Committee chair, Reince Priebus, was also chair of the Wisconsin Republican Party before taking Wisconsin conservatism to the national level. So as you can see, this great state of ours is also a great incubator. It's a petri dish, if you will. We have experimented with progressive and conservative policies and ideas throughout our state's history. Many of the great progressive ideas that I laid out for you earlier in this address, things that started in Wisconsin, went on to be adopted by other states and even by the federal government. You can thank Wisconsin for civil service protections. You can thank Wisconsin for workman's comp. for unemployment insurance, for a 40-hour work week, and in 1959, we were the first state to allow public sector bargaining and to compel employers to have to bargain with their public sector workers. Likewise, many of the conservative ideas and principles that I've mentioned have also been adopted by other states and at the federal level. So when others think of Wisconsin, they like to think of cows and cheese, or beer and brats, or Green Bay Packers and Vince Lombardi, or lake cabins in the Northwoods. And they're not wrong with these impressions of this wonderful state. But Wisconsin is so much more than our food, our sports, or our tourism industry. We are the birthplace of some of the greatest social, labor, and educational advances that have happened in our country in the last 100 years. Advances that are now regularly under attack in our state and in our country. So it is no surprise that this democracy convention should be convened in Madison, Wisconsin. You see, the great progressive tradition began here, a tradition that promoted democratic principles and values. If we are to reclaim our great progressive tradition, restore the values upon which our society was founded, move this country forward, and wrest control from the moneyed elite, it is only fitting that that movement began right here in Wisconsin. My sisters and brothers, welcome to Wisconsin.